The scripture reading will be taken from 2 Corinthians. Chapter 6, verse 2. And this is from the King James. But I have built a house of habitation for thee, and a place for thy dwelling forever.
Now is the day of salvation. For those here this evening may know what the meaning of salvation is, but do we truly know the definition? As we read in the 1828 Webster's Dictionary, it defines salvation as two things. The first definition given, the act of saving, preservation from destruction, danger, or great calamity. But the second definition is what all Christians should strive for. The redemption of man from the bondage of sin and liability to eternal death, and conferring on him everlasting happiness, this is the great salvation. A great salvation. How many of us can say here tonight that we have obeyed the gospel, that we have put on Christ through baptism, that the blood is cleansing us, but yet there are some who may stray from the path, and there are some that may not understand the true meaning of obeying the gospel. For those who have come to the knowledge, we must teach. For those who are still learning the knowledge, you must learn. Each and every one of us has an obligation to do the will of the Father. But the key verse from this sermon comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2. For he said, I have heard thee in times except in the day of salvation have I scorned thee. Behold, now is acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Not yesterday. Not 2 days ago. Not tomorrow. Not 2 days from now. But now is the day of salvation. And how many of us are willing to do the will of the Father, but yet chose not to? How many of us can say, I have done what I am supposed to do in the will of the Father? And most of the text will be coming from the King James Version, if you would like to follow along in that translation. But the three main points for this sermon is salvation has come. Since salvation has come, why wait? And how can I have salvation? Salvation has come to all and can be received. We just have to take the steps to do so. But how can someone have this eternal redemption if they don't take the time to study like they should? As we read in Acts chapter 4, verses 10 through 12, something peculiar that no other name given among heaven or on earth can bring salvation. Acts chapter 4, verses 10 through 12. Be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him does this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which is set anaught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. Neither is there any salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. No other name. I cannot say by my name being Denver Tate, I cannot say I can bring salvation to those around me. I can't do it. The only one that can bring eternal redemption, a place of rest, is Jesus Christ, our Lord, and how we are obligated to serve him to the best of our ability. But we also read in Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 9, Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 9. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. But we can also read in Ephesians chapter 5 verse 25, husbands, love your wife, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. So this eternal salvation can be given through Christ. This eternal redemption is only through Christ. Do we take the time to study like we should? Do we take the time to do what is obligated for Christians to do? Or do we just put it to the side to where we don't take the time, we're not willing, we're not dedicated, we're not motivated, but if I learn more, I had to teach more. Just teach. If I study more, I won't get much out of it. Study harder. If I want this salvation, what do I have to do? We'll go over it in the last point. But since salvation has come, why wait till it's too late? Why wait if you're not guaranteed the next second, minute, hour, or year? We're each held accountable for our actions. You and you only can get yourself to heaven. No one can do it for you. No one can pray for you once you die on this earth to go into heaven, but we must do according to what the law of God has given us through His testimony, the New Testament, the church that was bought by His blood, purchased from that great sacrifice that on the cross you may have eternal salvation. We're going back to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25 for a little bit. The examples of husbands loving their wives, and as Tim said, I am single, but this would apply to me if I was to have a wife. Husbands, love your wives in the example given, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it. There is no greater love than laying down your life for a fellow person. There's no greater love than giving your life for the cause of Christ. But we also read in Titus chapter 2, verse 11, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared unto some men, a few men, no, has appeared to all men." And we also read in Luke chapter 19, verse 10, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost." That was Luke chapter 19, verse 10. How can He seek and save something that's already saved? But in the text, He came to seek and save which is lost, knowing that there is no other name given under heaven. There is nothing we can do ourselves on our own accord except follow the will of God. His standard, His will, is a must do. So it brings us to the question, since salvation has come, why wait? Why go out these doors knowing that you may be eternally lost? And the word eternal is a phrase most people seem to overlook. Ever going, never ending. It is always repetitive to the point where its blessings, a bountiful blessing if we obey the gospel and live faithfully and die in Christ. But how much torment and pain and agony if we were to die outside of Christ, knowing our eternal destination is the lake of fire. Well, preacher, that's kind of harsh. As a preacher, I am obligated to preach the good and the bad alike, the blessings and the cursings alike. And if we want to get to heaven, we must do according to what the Bible says. But if we don't, all eternity lost is forever ongoing. Pain and gnashing of teeth and agony, suffering. No one wants that. No one wants to go through it. But we read in James chapter 13, verse 14, something that we all know is true, that we're only here for a short amount of time. James chapter 4, verses 13 and 14. "Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go unto such a city and continue there a year, and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, But for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanishes away. If now is the day of salvation, why are you waiting if you know you have to obey? Well, I don't know much. I don't want to be obligated to teach. Well, as Christians, you teach by your example and your speech, whether you know it or not. As Christians, we all are striving for one another, encouraging one another to get on the right path. And if a brother and sister stumble and fall, keep in mind, their soul is lost. Their soul needs guidance. And how can we do it if we sit back and do nothing? We must go and strive everything in our power to teach those who are lost and to teach those and remind those who have obeyed the gospel and have fallen away that their time may be short. Like I said, you're not guaranteed the next second, minute, hour, or day. Tonight could be your last night. I pray that that is not the case. Tonight could be it. Are you prepared for all eternity? Are you prepared for that eternal salvation? Or do you know that your life on earth was nothing but wickedness? Are you willing to change that fact? We also read in Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and 14, something that each and every one of us should know as Christians. Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. Enter ye into the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leads unto life, and few there be that find it. When it comes to the religious world, you see all these denominations, mega churches, or these churches that have thousands of thousands of people being misguided. As we read from this verse in 13, the majority will not be the minority. The majority will try everything in their power to teach error. Are those of the world, there are more people going down the wrong path than the few that find it. The few that find life eternal, redemption, a place of rest. Now is the day of salvation. Why wait? Why be the few that when it comes to our obligations as a Christian, if we know we're not on the right path, why not change that path? Why not dedicate our life to Christ and heed this warning coming from 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 7 through 9. And this is what's going to happen for those who know not God and obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 7 through 9. And to you who are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. Take note to verse 8. And in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. How can we call ourselves Christians if we're not willing to teach our fellow man? How can we call ourselves Christians if we're not willing and dedicated to do the will of the Father? That is called a lukewarm Christian, and we should not be that. You heard the saying from time to time, you should act like a Christian. No, Christians should be Christians. Christians should not act like Christians. Because if we're acting, we're not fulfilling the role of a Christian. And when we are, and we should be, your light will shine. You won't be the majority over here saying, oh, this is great, this is wonderful. But yet, you'll be the minority that very few people talk to, that very few people want to do anything with you. But it goes both ways. You could be a part of the world and have many friends and many physical blessings, But as Christians, we're the minority. And we should try everything in our power to aim for spiritual gifts, for spiritual pleasures. Our life, our dedication must be to the will of the Father. Which brings us to our third point for this evening. How can I have salvation? It's simple. It's easy to understand. We must be openly and willingly to dedicate our lives to Christ. We must obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. We must obey. Not wait until it's too late if you're on your deathbed or say you get sick and deathly ill and you have not obeyed the gospel. That's all eternity lost if you were to die outside of Christ. So the steps of salvation, this eternal redemption, is simple. It's called the plan of salvation. You hear it all the time at the end of sermons from time to time. But do we stress the importance of this salvation? Because if you read the word, plan of salvation. Or plan of redemption. Or plan of eternal rest. It goes by many names. But if we don't take the time and dedication to do so, how are we going to face the consequence? If we know, we must obey this plan of salvation. Well, how do you do the plan of salvation? It's simple. You must hear Romans 10:17. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If we do not teach those around us the gospel, if we do not have those who are willing to hear, you will have more people reject you than more people that are with you. But that is the life of a Christian. That is the life and dedication that we must face. And hearing alone is the first step, but it's not the complete step of salvation. The second step is belief. Romans 10:10, for the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Unto salvation, if we confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and we are baptized in the water for the remission of sins. Well, we must repent. When you read the word repent in the King James or any translation that has the word, you may think of, oh, it means I'm sorry. But the true definition for repent, coming from the Greek translation, is to change ways, to change your mind. Because we're reading through certain passages that God repented. He changed his mind. He went the opposite direction. And if we are to repent, we must change our ways. We must do the will of the Father. As we read in Acts 2:38, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Repent to change our ways to Christ and be baptized for the remission of sins. But we also notice that after we repent to dedicate our lives to Christ through baptism, but before we are baptized, we must confess Romans 10:9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. If you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God tonight, why wait? If you know you have to obey the gospel, don't tarry, don't delay. Because our soul is at stake for each person that dies outside of Christ. As we read in Luke 16 about the rich man and Lazarus, and for time-wise, we don't have time to go over the full passage, but the rich man loved the pleasures and concerns more of this world, of the physical possessions, not the spiritual possessions. But we also read about Lazarus, the beggar, who died and was carried into Abraham's bosom by the angels. The rich man died also, and in not torment or in the Hades, the waiting place, for those who have died before the second coming of Christ. He was in torment. He was in pain and agony. If he just followed what the law at that time was, he would have been in paradise. But yet he loved the cares and concerns more of this world than following God. Well, let's say we stop at confess. We did hear, believe, repent, and confess, but we stop there. We are missing the eternal salvation. We must be baptized. As we read in Mark 16:16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be condemned. He that believeth and is baptized, not he that waits or he that never does, but he that is baptized shall be saved. But we also read in Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 6, what baptism represents. Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 6. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin, that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we, that are dead to sin, live any longer therein? Knowing ye not that so many of us were baptized into Christ Jesus, were baptized unto his death. Therefore we are buried with him by baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk a newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Now notice verse 6. Knowing this, that the old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For my age, I'm 24. Or even those who are older, young adults and older adults, and even some of the teens, will have people that say, hey, what are you doing? Would you like to go this on Sunday or this on Wednesday night? Would you like to miss services and have party and have fun on Saturday night and then drag tails, so to speak, when you're coming into morning worship? When it is something of the world, we should not want to be a part of it. When it is something that the world thinks is all nice and fine and wonderful, we should not go and do it. Because if we obey the gospel, we put away childish things. We put away things that we know are sin. That being said, we're not perfect. We will stumble and fall. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, as we read in 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, but if you walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sins. What does it mean to walk in the light as he's in the light? Doing the will of the Father. Living faithfully unto his will. In the latter part of Revelation chapter 2, verse 10, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Faithful unto death. Once we obey the gospel, it isn't in there. To have this eternal redemption, this eternal resting place, we must remain faithful. We must do the will of the Father. That as we also read in James chapter 1, verse 12, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive a crown of life, which the Lord has promised to them that love him. Not to them that disobey God, not to them that rather be in the world, but to them that love him and obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Like I said, if you were to go out these doors knowing that it was your last night, would you be prepared for all eternity? Would you be the one facing God in hearing as we read in Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 through 46, that blessed are those that enter the kingdom. Those who enter that final rest that you were here, Christ said, well done, thy good and faithful servant, enter into the kingdom. But are you going to hear, let's say you die outside of Christ, lost for eternity, and hear the words that no person on this earth wants to hear, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepare for the devils and his angels in everlasting destruction. So the question I ask, are you preparing for that eternal salvation? Are you preparing for that eternal redemption? Are you preparing for that final resting place to be in home with God in heaven when he comes back on that second coming? So as we went over the plan of salvation, if you're here this evening and you have not obeyed the gospel, you have not put on Christ through baptism, don't wait, don't tarry. Not guaranteed the next second. And I cannot stress that point enough. Why not come and hear the word of God, believe, repent, confess, being baptized for the remission of sins, and living faithfully that you may receive a crown of life when your time here on this earth has ended. Well, let's say you're here and you have sin in your life and you know you have sin. There's two people that always knows who and what you have done. God knows what you did. You know what you did. And if you have sin in your life, why live in it any longer? Why live in an unfaithful state knowing that eternity lost is pain, suffering, agony, gnashing of teeth? So if you are here and have not obeyed the gospel, why not come forward and obey? Or in here and need the prayers of the church and forgiveness of sins that you may be forgiven. Come forward also as together we stand and sing.